We are in a series of sermons on the order of worship. And we're not talking now about family worship or private worship or how your whole life is supposed to be worshiping the Lord, but the public worship service, the church service, especially the Reformed church worship service. That service begins when the elder shakes the pastor's hand down here. The elder, on the behalf of the consistory and of the congregation, entrusts the pulpit to this particular pastor, because the elders are responsible for the preaching that takes place in the church. The worship service ends when the elder shakes the pastor's hand at the end after the benediction. And so far we've had the votum where we learned, children, that we all together are saying our help is in the name of the Lord. And then last time we heard the Lord's reply, His greeting, His salutation to us, grace be unto you and peace from God. And you notice that it is a dialogue that's happening. As a congregation, we are addressing God, and God is addressing us as a congregation, and we're talking back and forth. Now, I know most of the worship service, the pastor is speaking, but he's speaking to God on behalf of the congregation, and he's speaking to the congregation on behalf of God. You need to remember that. That's what's going on in the worship service. And it is corporate worship. That means we are all worshiping together. We do this as a congregation. We worship as a church. It's not just the pastor saying, my help is in the name of the Lord, though that is true. But all of us together saying, our help is in the name of the Lord. It's not just the pastor who hears, grace be to you, singular. No, it is God speaking, grace be unto you, plural, as a congregation. In this church, we have a word of welcome at the beginning of the service and a call to worship that's not used in all Reformed churches. So we won't go into that in great detail. But the next part of our worship service is part of every worship service in a Reformed church, and that is the singing. Singing. We do that 6 times in our worship service. We have the opening song. Then we have a song in response to the law. We have the song after the collection. Then we have a middle song and a closing song and a doxology. 6 times during the worship service we are singing. That takes up quite a bit of time. It's a huge part of the worship service, a very important part of the worship service. So that's what we're looking at this morning. The congregation sings in the worship service. And we're using as one of the very many texts, Ephesians 5 verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That and many others. And 3 questions to ponder this morning. Why do we sing? Why don't we just read? Why do we sing? Why don't we just talk to each other? Secondly, what do we sing? And then thirdly, how do we sing? So why, what, and how do we sing? First of all, why? Why do we sing in the worship service? Well, we already heard it first thing this morning in the call to worship in Psalm 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That's what the Lord commands us. Come into my presence. And He's talking about the public worship service. Come into my presence with singing. And there are many, many commands to sing in the Bible. Psalm 47, sing praises. It says it four times in one verse, sing praises. Other places, sing forth the honor of the Lord's name. Sing unto the Lord with the voice of a psalm. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. James says, is anyone merry? Let him sing psalms. The inspired psalms for the worship of God. Now, all those commands to sing are not necessarily in the worship service alone. Yet we are commanded to sing. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And in all of the scriptures that I've now mentioned, we are commanded to sing. To sing. And you read it throughout the whole Bible. Phrases like this. Talk of all his wondrous works with singing. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness by singing. Make his praise glorious by singing. Extol him. Rejoice before him by singing. Tell that the Lord's name is pleasant by singing. Make known that he has done excellent things by singing. Be filled with the Spirit and be singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in us and be singing. Why do we sing? Because our Lord commands us to sing, first of all. And then, singing has always been part of the worship service. You read it in the Old Testament. In the tabernacle worship service, in the temple worship service, and then you read in those histories phrases like this, with gladness and thanksgiving and singing. Rejoicing and singing. Singing with all their might. You think of one example from the Old Testament, the Feast of the Passover. They would sing the Hallel Psalms. That's number 113 to 118. Sung by every pious Jew. They would sing these psalms, celebrating the deliverance of the Lord's people from Egypt. And that's carried over into the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he celebrates his last Passover with his disciples, and when he institutes the Lord's Supper, he sang at that sacrament. Matthew 26, verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We'll come back to that word hymn just a little later in our second thought. But the Lord Jesus Christ, being a Jew, knew the ways of the Jews, and he sang those Hallel Psalms. So we can think that the Lord Jesus Christ went to his cross with the words of Psalm 118, verse 17 on his lips and in his heart, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. What comfort that must have been to our Lord at that time, knowing he's going to die on a cross. A few short hours later, I shall not die but live and declare the works of God. So we are commanded to sing, and singing has always been part of the Old Testament, the New Testament worship service. Here's a third reason. God's people will sing in heaven. That's not the only thing we will be doing in the new heavens and the new earth, but that begins here already. Here we may begin to sing the songs of Zion. In Revelation 13, verse 5, we read that they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And when they sing the song of the Lamb, they are quoting from the Old Testament book of Psalms. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So we're commanded to sing. It's always been done in the worship service. In heaven, God's people will sing. And you know something else, children? God himself sings. God himself sings with joy. Listen to Zephaniah 3 verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord, our God, rejoices over his own people with singing. Imagine that. He's rejoicing too when his people rejoice over him with singing. So why do we sing in the worship service? Take it in the reverse order now. First of all, because God himself sings. And then the redeemed sing in heaven. Singing has always been part of the public worship service in the Old and the New Testaments. And God himself commands it. That's why we sing. It's not an option. God commands his people, sing to me. That's a command from the Lord. And we gladly do it, don't we? Don't we? Obeying out of love to the Lord, we sing to him. That's why we sing. But what do we sing? There's always this ongoing debate over exclusive psalmody. And that's just a fancy phrase that means singing only psalms in the worship service. And the questions come up all the time, right? Why don't we sing hymns in church? Well, I'm telling you, just right up front, we do. We do sing hymns in church. You'll find out what I mean just a little bit later. You hear the argument that Psalter is so old-fashioned. The Psalter is not Christ-centered, people say. And after all, we are a local congregation ruled by our elders. Isn't it just up to us then to choose what we will sing? Can't the elders just get together this week at their meeting and say, from now on, we're going to sing some hymns in church too? And the counter argument to all that is, well, God is a God of order. And he will be worshipped as he himself has prescribed in the Word of God. He not only says why we sing, but he prescribes for us what we sing. And first of all, what we sing in church is the book of songs that the Lord himself has given to us in the Bible. The Psalter. Here is our songbook. Our Psalter. That's our songbook. Based on the words of Holy Scripture from the book of Psalms, all inspired by God himself. And God puts that book in our hands and he says, here, sing to me. I will give you the songs to sing to me. Not man-made songs, but Holy Spirit-inspired psalms. That's what we sing. Because God has given us our songbook. But not only that, we have the express command to sing psalms in the Bible. 1 Chronicles 16 verse 9 and Psalm 105 verse 2. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Psalm 98 verse 5. Sing unto the Lord with the voice of a psalm. So we have the songbook. We have the command expressly to sing psalms, and then we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 26 verse 30, I already quoted it. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Oh, somebody says, see, it says hymn right there. That doesn't say psalms. And yet, that Greek word that's used here does not mean hymn as we know it today. The hymns that we know are all recent. They're from the last maybe 400 years old, maybe. That would be stretching it. when Jesus sang a hymn after he instituted the Lord's Supper, before he went to the cross, he did not sing the old rugged cross. He did not sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know what he sang? A song. Because the Jews at the Passover sang the Hallel songs. Numbers 113 to 118. They sang as they remembered God's marvelous deliverance of his people out of Egypt. They're called Hallel songs because 10 times the word Hallelujah is in those psalms. Praise the Lord. Praise him. And in Psalm 118 verse 14, it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. And the word song there is the Greek word hymn. It's found in the Psalms. And at the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus and his disciples sang psalms. Those were the psalms they sang. And the Lord's Supper is always administered in the public worship service. So we can conclude that he requires the use of psalms in the worship service. Again, thinking about in heaven, the people of God will sing the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, quoting Psalm 111, verse 2. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Quoting other psalms, marvelous are thy works, holy in all his works. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. And then fourthly, we have specific instructions from the Apostle Paul in his letters to the church, instructing the church to sing psalms. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, he says. And then verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, while singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And singing here is just another form of speaking. It's almost the identical in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, while teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and while singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So according to the Old Testament and the New Testament, what are we to sing? Well, here it says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, those three musical terms in Greek do not mean the same for Paul as they mean for us in modern English. Because when we think of hymns, we're thinking of I Need Thee Every Hour, beautiful as that is. When we think of spiritual songs, we're thinking of the old slave songs in the past. But here, it's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And Paul is writing in Greek. And Paul is quoting from his Greek Bible here too. That the Greek Bible was a translation of the Old Testament Hebrew. And in that Greek translation of the Old Testament Hebrew, the title Psalms appears 67 times. Psalms. For example, in Psalm 4 and verse 9, that's also the Greek title for the book of Psalms. So it refers to certain psalms from the book of Psalms. So when Paul writes to Ephesians and Colossians singing psalms, he means that, psalms from the book of Psalms. When he says sing hymns, he's not talking about the hymns that we know because he didn't know them. He's using a word that appears 17 times in that Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, 6 times in titles of Psalms. Psalm 67, Psalm 76. Anytime the book of Psalms uses that old strange word, neginoth, It's translated in the Greek as hymns. So when Paul says, sing hymns, he's talking about certain selections from the book of Psalms. He's not talking about modern hymns as we know them. And when he says, sing spiritual songs, he's talking again about the Psalms. Certain Psalms, 36 of them, are called spiritual songs in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament book of Psalms. All the songs of degrees, for example, 120 to 134, are all called spiritual songs. So when Paul writes to us in the New Testament church and he's instructing this church what we are to be singing, and he says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, he's simply referring to different types of psalms found in the book of Psalms. That's what we are called to sing. All three of those terms are used in the Greek Bible for Psalm 137, verse 3, where we read this, "For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song." And there that's used that word, spiritual song. "And they that wasted us required of us mirth." And there they use the word for hymn that Paul uses in Ephesians and Colossians. And they say, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us the psalm," the word Paul uses. So once more, when Paul instructs the Ephesian church and the Colossian church to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and when Paul instructs the Jordan HRC what we are to sing in church, he's referring to different types of selections from the book of Psalms. "Be filled with the Spirit," he says, "while singing the psalms." Those psalms inspired by the Holy Spirit, word for word, God's word, sing those back to God. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom while singing the psalms." They are the words of Christ. That's what Jesus said, right? "Search the scriptures. They testify of me." And he's talking about the Old Testament. The whole thing. Why must we sing? Because God commands us to. What must we sing? Psalms. Because that's what God commands us to sing. And no, it's not up to us to choose what we're going to sing. So why do we sing? What do we sing? And thirdly, how? How do we sing? And again, that's not up to us to decide either. Right? We know we must be singing, but how? Well, various things we've already heard. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sing praises with understanding. "I will praise thee with my whole heart." Sing praise to the Lord with thanksgiving. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, "I will sing with the Spirit and with the understanding also." So trying to answer this question, how do we sing? First of all, our singing must be an act of faith. We have to sing by faith. The Bible clearly spells it out for us. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if we are singing without faith, we are actually sinning. And another thing, let us always be humble psalm singers. Some people in this church have become very proud of our psalm singing. And we look down our pious noses at other people who sing hymns in their worship service, and we think we are so much better than they are. No, we're not. No, we're not. If we don't sing with faith, every time we sing, we're sinning, taking the Lord's name in vain. Because the Psalms are very experiential, aren't they? And we need to sing them with truth from our hearts. We must sing honestly. So when we sing the exaltation of number 251, Thou hast filled my heart with gladness. Thou hast made my life victorious. God, my rock, my strength, and refuge. That's what we sing. I think we sang it last Sunday. And when we sang that, was that really true for you? Are you singing honestly? God, my rock, my strength, my refuge. If not, then with all your psalm singing, you were taking the Lord's name in vain. The middle psalm this morning is 426. We're going to sing it in just a few moments. And there we sing these words that most of us know so well. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. I cried, deliver thou my soul, O Lord. In Him I found salvation. Is that true for you? Will you be singing honestly? You were commanded to sing, but we have to sing honestly too. When we sing the prayer of number 231, O Lord, to us Thy mercy show. We wait to hear what God will speak. Is that true for you? Are you praying for the Lord's mercies? Are you waiting to hear what God will speak? When we sing the praises of number 76, ascribe to Him glory and render Him honor and beauty of holiness, worship the Lord. Do you do that then? Or is it just empty words that we sing? See, we must sing with faith. We must sing honestly, and we must sing reverently. Serve the Lord with reverence, it says in the Bible, and godly fear, and singing for us should be just like reading the scriptures, an act of worship to Almighty God, so we can never just be careless while we're singing. We have to sing attentively, concentrating on the words that we're singing and asking, what am I actually saying here to the Lord? And is this true for me as I'm singing? And that means we also must sing prayerfully. Prayerfully. Many of the Psalms are prayers. And so we end up singing prayers. Most of our children know number 53. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Right? We had a sermon on it last Sunday. But children, when you know that psalm and you sing it, but is that really true in your life? That the Lord is your good shepherd? And what about if it isn't true? Then what? Well, then you turn the song into a prayer. And you pray while you're singing. Oh, Lord God, please be my good shepherd too. so that I will lack nothing. And Lord, when we come to church, make us to lie down in the green pastures of the Holy Word of God. And Lord, please lead us beside the still waters of the gospel of Jesus. Lord, restore our souls. Take away all our sins. Forgive our iniquities. Is there a way to be received into favor with God for me too? Make me to walk in the paths of righteousness for thy own name's sake, Lord. Comfort me with thy rod and thy staff so that even when I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I would fear no evil because I know thou art with me. And Lord God, will you please prepare a table for me, even in the presence of my enemies, and anoint my head with joy. Cause my cup to flow over. And Lord, I know the Bible says that. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But Lord, do that for me too. So that my dwelling place may be in the house of the Lord forever. You could turn the Psalms into a prayer when you fear sometimes that you're just singing empty words. You pray the Psalms. So, why do we sing in the worship service? Because God commands us to, first of all. And what do we sing? The Psalms. Because that's what God commands us to sing. And how do we sing? With faith and grace in our hearts. Reverently, prayerfully. I have a few more things to say, but first we'll sing. 4:26, verses 1, 2, and 3. And as we sing this, let's pay extremely close attention to what we are singing. I love the Lord. 1:23, 4:26. Some general observations yet before we go this morning. First of all, I would want to stress with parents the importance of teaching our children the Psalms. It should be the first songs that your children learn as you train them at home to sing. When our children are trained at home, then when they come to church, it won't be all strange to them. They will know what's going on, and they will sing here too. Sometimes when I look out in the congregation and I see children not paying attention during the preaching, I can kind of understand. Some of it is hard to understand, and you can't pay attention for an hour at a time, but when I sometimes see children not singing, and parents just kind of ignoring that, how sad is that? Especially children who are learning to read at school. And it's even sadder when there are a few adults who are not singing. Leading by example, our children and grandchildren. It's not important to sing in church. You know something? When you don't sing in church, I'm not talking about if you can't sing because you have laryngitis or something. When you don't sing in church, you're making a statement. A very loud statement to all the other people here. You people are fools. That's what you're saying. I don't agree with you, so I'm not going to open my mouth and sing either. Disobeying a direct command from the Lord. Sing to me, he says. And some of us say, no. But parents, make sure you teach your children, and grandparents teach your grandchildren the songs of the Bible, the Psalms. They learn them and memorize them. What a blessing to have your children in a Christian school where every week there's a memory song. The number this week, or for next Monday, 278. The tender love a father has for all his children dear. Parents, will you make sure your children know it? Do you sing psalms at home ever? Or anywhere else? Maybe on the way to church or driving somewhere else? Are you teaching your children the psalms? Your children right now are like sponges. They can memorize stuff and it sticks. And it can be used by the Lord later on in life to comfort them, to instruct them, to bring joy later in life. My sister sent me a little video clip of my mom. My mom is now 90 years old and she has Alzheimer's. So her mind isn't working so good anymore, actually. Not at all, I think. And yet, the place where she lives, the nursing home, they sometimes, through their sound system, they play recordings of Dutch psalms. And when one of those recordings comes on, my mom's face lights up. And she begins to hum or whistle along with that tune. And she remembers something. And it's when she smiles. That brings joy to her. And why is that? Because she learned those songs when she was a child. When she was a little child, she learned those songs. I think I might have told you once before, but it's worth telling again of an elderly lady we met in Iowa in our church there. An old widow. She had Alzheimer's disease too. And she couldn't carry on a conversation either, just like my mom. Every minute or so she said, "Well, who are you? And who's that lady?" And it was her daughter. She didn't know. And then I sang to her once. In Dutch, Psalm 81. "Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth, receive me." And she started singing along. And she knew exactly what it meant. She said to her daughter, "You know what that means? Open your mouth and the Lord will fill it." How can that be? A lady with the Alzheimer's can't even think straight anymore. And yet those songs that she learned when she was a little child, they stuck there. Children, learn the psalms. Memorize them. The Lord will use them later on in your life. So that's one thing. Teach your children to sing the psalms. Second observation is this. I would want to point out to you the Christ-centeredness of the Psalms. The Psalms are often criticized. People say because they don't mention the name of Jesus. It's true, they don't. They don't mention the name Jesus. But the Lord Jesus Himself said in Luke 24, verse 44, "All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." So when we compare the Psalms with the Psalter's wording, and you think of Psalm 2, which speaks of Christ's humble birth, and we sing, "Supremely blessed are they who in Christ their refuge take." Psalm 40 and Psalm 78 speak of his earthly ministry, and we sing in this church, "My people give ear, attend to my word, and parables new, deep truth shall be heard." Psalm 22 speaks of his crucifixion. And we sang a couple of weeks ago, my God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me?" Psalm 16 speaks of his resurrection. And we sing, "My soul in death's dark pit shall not be left by thee. Corruption thou wilt not permit thy holy one to see." Psalm 68 and 110 speak of Christ's ascension and his being seated at the right hand of God. And we sing, the Lord unto his Christ has said, in glory I enthrone thee, till all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee. Psalm 45 of Pentecost, Psalm 89 of the kingdom. And every psalm that mentions the forgiveness of sins is a Christ-centered psalm. Every psalm that mentions holiness of life is a Christ-centered psalm. Because our justification and our sanctification are in Christ. So yes, the Psalter is always Christ-centered. The trouble is sometimes with our eyes and with our understanding. It's not a fault of the Psalter. And a third observation I'd like to make is that we need to know the experiential reality of the Psalms. That we know that this is real. So that when we sing Psalm 42, for example, as pants the heart for streams of living waters, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? If that's never the language of your soul, then you don't know the experiential reality of the Psalms yet. Or verse 4, why, O my soul, art thou cast down within me? Why art thou troubled and oppressed with grief? Hope thou in God, the God of thy salvation. Hope, and thy God will surely send relief. That's why the Psalms are called the ABCs of the Christian life. Because they describe what goes on in the heart of a believer. No, not all to the same depth and not all the time. But there are times like that. Let me just make a comment yet about modern hymns as we know them. Based on Scripture. And yet there's no scriptural warrant to sing them in the public worship service. Well, what about in our families then? By all means, sing. Sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But sing it by faith. And sing it along with the Psalms. Is it wrong to listen to hymns? No, it's not wrong to listen to hymns. Listen. Sing them. What about a family worship time? Yes, sing hymns if you like, along with the Psalms. By all means, listen to Handel's Messiah at home. Memorize it. Even lots of psalms in there too. We're not here to slam hymns. We're simply saying, in a Reformed public worship service, because of the scriptural principles laid out for us in God's Word, we sing God's songs back to Him and we use God's songbook, the Book of Psalms. Why do we sing in the worship service? Because God commands us to. What do we sing? The Psalms, because that's what God commands us to sing. And how do we sing? As an act of faith. Let us always sing, beloved, from the heart. And if your heart is not right with God, and you can't honestly sing the words before you, then come to the Christ of whom we sing and flee to Him for refuge and say, oh Lord Jesus, I have to sing because I'm commanded to and yet I can't sing these from the bottom of my heart because it's not reality. Make it real for me. Because I sin if I do sing and I sin if I don't sing. So the only way is to sing with grace in our hearts. So pray for the Lord's grace to enable you to sing uprightly. Do you find an echo in the Psalms of what goes on in your own heart? Oh, then sing the Psalms with joy. Or sometimes you find in the Psalms your own fears and your doubts expressed there too. Oh, then sing those too. Sometimes the longings and the desires of your soul after God can be so uplifted at times by the Psalms we sing in church. Sometimes people say that after church. Oh, the songs we sang this morning were amazing. Well, yes, of course they're amazing. They're God's inspired Psalms. How could they not be amazing? Yet at times they touch you differently than at other times, don't they? But every part of the worship service is for the glory of Almighty God. Also, the singing of the Psalms. So why don't we bring in a choir sometime? Why don't we have soloists or a praise band? Because, beloved, when we do that, then all the focus is going to be on people. But when we as a congregation are singing the Psalms, the focus of our worship service will be where it belongs, on God, the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the Psalms concerning me, says Jesus. So whether we're singing, or preaching, or playing the organ, or taking care of the church, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the clear instruction from the Holy Word of God. Lord, thy word tells us plainly why we sing, what we sing, and how we are to sing. We pray, Lord, that we may take it to heart, that we may benefit greatly from singing the Psalms in the worship service, realizing that we are singing the very Word of God back to the Lord. Grant, Lord, that our hearts may be lifted up with joy as we sing thy praises, that we may sing with grace in our hearts. Above all, that we would always, always desire the praise of the Lord in every aspect of the worship service. Lord, we pray that you would forgive the sins of this worship service. Sins we have committed in speaking and in listening and in reading and in singing. But all those sins need to be washed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And we come to thee, O Lord, pleading thy promises that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, also the unrighteousness in our singing. Lord, please take care of us as we leave this place, as we return to our homes, and bring us safely back this afternoon, as we again will turn to the book of Psalms. Lord, bless us. Grant that we would not be distracted by many other things going on in our lives, so that in preaching and in hearing, we may worship in spirit and in truth. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.